Welcome back, Noodle Squad. It's been a while. It's been like a little over a week. So not exactly a week, but I am your host, Noel Mulkey, and this is the podcast where we noodle on about tons of different stuff, and I talk a lot and just yap, and we get our noodles going. So I first of all want to say thank you so much for the support thus far on my podcast and all my stories I've had to share, and our one guest, shout out to Lydia. We are going to have a lot more guests coming up. But today, I wanted to talk about, drumroll, mental illness. Yep, mental illness. We're all, I feel like all humans have a degree of mental illness in terms of, well, maybe I shouldn't say that, but yes, there are very, mental health is a spectrum, people. It's a big, big old spectrum, right? So, you know, I know people who have never been, let's go with my dad. My dad has never been diagnosed with, you know, he's never been diagnosed with anything, but he definitely has something, and we're all aware of it. It's like, you know, that's a little bit of depression, a little bit of anxiety, a lot of depression. And it just turns into like a, like, you know, someone, everyone knows someone who actually has a very, who actually has severe mental health problems. And everyone knows someone who hasn't been diagnosed, but is definitely like, oh yeah, you do have something. Where am I going with this? I'm going to, today, we are going to talk about my personal experience having been diagnosed with bipolar 2 disorder. What does it feel like to be diagnosed with bipolar 2 disorder? Why was I diagnosed? And what does living with bipolar 2 disorder feel like? And I'm going to go with that because that's my diagnosis and I can't speak for everyone. But yeah, today's episode is all about mental health. What does it feel like to be bipolar 2? First of all, a little bit of stats. 23.1% or 59.3 million of U.S. adults, that does not include kids, suffer from mental illness. So 1 in 4 people suffer from mental illness. And that was off of a 2022 study. 7 million people suffer from bipolar. And there is now a difference between bipolar 1 and bipolar 2. Bipolar 2 disorder is not a milder form of bipolar 1 disorder. It's just a separate diagnosis because a lot of people think, oh, you have bipolar 2. It's not as bad. That's not the case. They're just completely different. Manic episodes in bipolar 1 can be severe and dangerous. With bipolar 2 individuals, the disorder can be depressed for longer periods of time, which can cause significant impairment or substantial consequences. What is bipolar 2? What is a bipolar 2 person like? Bipolar 2 is diagnosed with a person when a person experiences a pattern of depressive episodes and hypomanic episodes. And I'm excited to explain to you what hypomanic is, but not the full-blown manic episodes found in bipolar 1 disorder. So a good example of that is like bipolar 1 people, from my understanding and all my research and living with bipolar 2 disorder, is bipolar 1 is when their manic episodes, remember, I can't speak for them because that's not my, but I, from my understanding, is bipolar 1 is, you know, like their manic episodes are very surreal. Like they're almost euphoric. Like they can talk to God or something. You know, they see hypomanic, which is what bipolar 2 disorder gets, which is what I get. It's like you get so, it's almost like you're on overdrive. Like it always felt like there was a buzzing in my head. Because you start so many different projects, and a good sign, a big red flag is impulsive spending. Stopping and starting projects without really cohesiveness, and like how to, like, oh, I'm going to be an artist. I'm going to be a great artist, and I do a ton of art and get super fixated on art. But then the next day I'm like, oh, I want to be a podcaster and start a podcast. And then the next day I want to be a web developer and start web. And it's still sort of there, a little bit of my hopping and switching around projects. Also impulsive spending, that's still there too. But Okay, so let's go back real quick because I want to talk about how I first experienced my mental health issues. So basically, when I was 20, okay, I was 20 years old, and I had just gotten sober. I say that I find myself saying that a lot in this podcast, but it's true. Got sober, but okay, so here we are. I am now off of everything. I had been on, I had been seeing psychiatrists my whole life since I was like in eighth grade. They put me on everything. Seroquel, Prozac, this, that. I came, Wellbutrin, something with a C. Literally everything that you can think of for kids going through mental health issues, problems, they put me on, you know. Turns out a lot of those medications I were on, SSRIs, can actually make the symptoms of bipolar 2 disorder worse. SSRIs are really bad if you're on the wrong one, from my understanding, for bipolar 2 disorder. So it was actually making me more hypomanic and more crazy. And so my whole life, oh, also side note, a lot of the times in adolescence, so when people, I was with the people who would see me, a lot of times they really are hesitant to diagnose a child with bipolar 2 disorder, okay? They want to diagnose, you don't want to give a child that diagnosis if it's wrong, it would have been right. So they pretty much, a lot of the symptoms really look like ADHD, you know, hyper and then kind of fixated on something else. Anyways, I was not ever, they just diagnosed me with depression and anxiety, which is kind of what it is, but a lot more severe. And I was never properly diagnosed, right? Okay. So my whole adolescence on different drugs, self-medicating, blah, 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 blah. All right. Let's fast forward to where I found triathlon. You know, I'm myself. I found I'm on nothing, no drugs whatsoever, no psych medication. It was like the first time in however long it took me to be off psych from like eighth grade to 20. So for like, I guess like, gosh, 11, 12 years I was on psych medications. And then I came up with off of them because, you know, I just was on nothing. And for I think 2 years, my first 2 years in triathlon, it was like, I was, what do they call it? Raw dogging. I was raw dogging my mental health with no psych medication. I was raw dogging my mental health. Is that what they call it? I don't know. But, okay, so that's where we're going to start is how does that feel? What does bipolar 2 disorder feel like? All right, so it was like this crazy, the weeks would go, I just remember in these 2 years, or maybe it was less than a year, something was wrong with me. I was just so, I was crazy. I hate that word, but I was just so, I would go from like, you know, a typical week would be like, I'd be so motivated and like buzzing with like a thousand different things I needed to do with like, I wanted to, you know, train for triathlon. I also wanted to like, I had art projects going on and I would like, I would just have all these things going on, and it always felt like in my head, it was like a buzzing, and it was like extreme anxiety, like super, super anxiety, to where like another big red flag of bipolar 2 disorder is like high-pressured speech, because it always felt like I wanted to talk, and I wanted to talk, but like I couldn't almost talk fast enough to what my mind was saying. So like I would come out as like just really high pressured speech was really the way to describe it. And a couple other, and here's some other symptoms of hypomania. Let's call it hypomania. So there's manic and hypomania. And hypomania episodes, increased energy and activity. Great for triathlon. I would be like, boom, like I want to get this done. I got my bike and swim done before noon. And now I can go, you know, work on a book. I wanted to start a book. You know, I had like a thousand things. Decreased need for sleep. Huge part of it was I like was running on no sleep. Like I didn't need sleep. I could barely sleep at night, but I would still get up and like work out like crazy. still want to create my website for a web design business. And I'm like, all the while, like, never finishing any of these projects. Increased talkativeness or impulsivity, racing thoughts and distractibility, grandiose or inflated self-esteem. Not sure if that one has ever been cured. No, I'm kidding. So hypoman, and remember, this is like exhausting. Like, you're always up or down, like you're never centered. So a good example about this with the elevator or irritable mood, racing thoughts or distractibility. I was obsessed with germs and like not getting germs. I would be like, I was literally like, okay, I would go to the pool, right? And, oh, no, you know what? Here's a good example of like, here's a super good example of hypomania fixation. I went to go to get a massage from my favorite massage person in Tulsa. And I had a really weird thing with blood. I didn't care about like blood. I just was very freaked out about blood and like catching diseases. I had a very weird fixation on like, can't touch that because it will get inside you and you'll get a disease. And so one time my massage therapist actually started bleeding while she was massaging me, just because her cuticle or something, I don't know, came off. But I noticed there was like blood on the table when I got up. I didn't even notice why it was happening. And I was like, whose blood is that? Is that my blood? She's like, oh, I cut my finger. And I didn't say anything at the time, but I remember absolutely spiraling. Like, I had to go home and talk to my dad and be like, and I just needed so much validation from him. I said, Dad, do I have, like, do you think I got a disease from the massage therapist who, he was like, no, I don't think you did. I don't think you got anything. He would say it very calmly, and I would just spiral, and I would need like hours and hours of confirmation and validation of, are you sure, you know, Dad, are you sure that I didn't get a disease from that? Are you sure? Like, and it was just miserable to live with. I'm just like, there's so many instances where I was like, oh my gosh, what if that person touched that person and then they touched me? And it was just so one of my main things was germs and diseases. That was like something I could not get out of my head. I was so scared of like all the time I would have to like, if I went to the gym, I would have to make sure like not touching anybody else's sweat. And I'm a triathlete. Like, we're, you know, that wasn't going to work for much longer. Like, I really needed to figure something out because I couldn't live with myself how I was feeling. And remember, that mixed with like basically no sleep. Like, when I was bipolar, or I'm still bipolar too, but I'm medicated. But before I was unmedicated, before I was medicated, in this like year and a half window of being of raw dogging it, there's got to be a better word for that because I can't keep saying that. But it was like a year of this up and down. And so a lot of the times, so you go through like 4 or 5 days of this hypomania, which is like super anxious, hyper fixated on like a certain project and then switching projects, randomly buying $695 of hosting service for your website that you started for no reason because you didn't need a website and you just spent $695 for no reason. It's just like a lot of little stuff like that. And remember, mind you, I'm trying to like go to, I think I was trying to take college classes. I was trying to train, and this whole time I kind of knew, like, I knew something's not right with me. Like, I knew this is not normal way of thinking. Everyone around me was so calm. I was like, how are you calm? How are you like just relaxed? How are you like so fine with yourself and like comfortable in your own skin, basically? Because I wasn't. I never was. I was like, I was miserable because, okay, so we'll go through 5 days of hypomania, right? And then the bipolar 2 disorder, the other part of it is the major depression. So, major depression. Persistent low mood or loss of interest in activities, changes in appetite or weight, sleep disturbances, fatigue or loss of energy, feelings of worthlessness or guilt, difficulty concentrating or making decisions. So it would go through like, so I've spent the last 7 days barely sleeping, hypomanic as all get out, you know, anxious, this, that, that. But then I'd like have this switch. And I'd sleep a lot and I would get up and I'd be like, all that motivation, all that like hustle and like, ooh, buzzing and like, got to get something done. Basically like all on, like basically like on, like basically like on thousands of milligrams of Adderall and Red Bull at the same time has completely gone away. I'm now like struggling to get out the door. Like, I can't, like, I don't want to go run. And at the time, I was so motivated to be a triathlete, be good at triathlon. And I remember, like, getting these sessions and being like, I just can't do it. I just don't want to. And it was, like, something which is holding me back. And then I would, like, do a – if I did make it out the door for a run, I'd come back and sleep for, like, 3 hours. Midday, I'm, like, sleeping 3 hours. You know, And I was like, I can't figure this out. It's like a year of this, you guys. It's back and forth, and it's exhausting. I'm telling you, it's exhausting going from that high and up and to that low. And like, I just remember being like in bed, being like, it's like 1 p.m. and I just can't get out of bed. I'm just like rotting, and it would go back and forth. And the fatigue and loss of energy. And I think a lot of it was, like, it says persistent low mood or loss of interest in activities. I never had lost my goal. Like, I still, even deep into my mental illness, I still had my goal, which was at the time was to be the best triathlete I can be. Because that was a massive part of my life. We are also investing a lot of money in it. But I knew what I wanted to do. But like, I just couldn't. And my thoughts and stuff, it was so cloudy. I remember feeling like just cloudy, like I couldn't, lethargic, like, all right, you know, like, I actually don't know how to explain this one as well as I didn't know how to explain the hypomania. But everyone knows what depressive episodes feel like, I think. But yeah, it was like the loss. Okay, so loss of interest in activities. Like I said, like my interest was still there, but the motivation and like the whimsy and like the me wanting to get out the door and get was like gone for. And this was like a week, so it'd be another like a week of this. Just really major depression. And I think one of the things is clearly you can see how hard this would be to diagnose. Because how would you die? I mean, first you go see your therapist on the week you're hypomanic and they think you're full of anxiety. You go see your therapist on the week of your depression episode and they think you're depressed. You know, it's so hard to, this is why you have to find a good psychiatrist. This is why it's really, I got very lucky to have found someone that nailed the nail on the head for this diagnosis, which is really interesting because I actually want to tell a story about this. The first time I got diagnosed properly was in actually Key West, West Palm Beach, Florida, from this guy. It was like $600 an hour. It was like the top of the top psychiatrist you can get. That's like as good as it gets with psychiatrists because that's where I had went to rehab. And it was so crazy. He asked me, like, you know, this is after years of not getting a proper diagnosis and being like, what the fuck is wrong with me? And he did all these weird little things. And it's so crazy how he knew. He knew, like, he goes, when you're little, Noel, did tags on the back of your shirt bug you? And I said, yeah, they did a lot. Like, tags really bugged me. And he's like, did you not like seafood when you were little? I was like, did you not like shrimp? And I was like, Yeah, I hated shrimp when I was little. I did not like shrimp. And I like it now. And he like knew all that. He's like guessing. There was more too. He was like, I can't remember. But those are two of the ones that stick out to me. But he like knew all of this. I got really lucky with that. I should shout him out. I'll find his work. He's in West Palm Beach. But yeah, he totally he nailed it. He nailed it. And so another thing about bipolar 2 disorder is if you give someone with bipolar 2 disorder SSRIs or antidepressants like Prozac or Seroquel or something, so supposedly these medications can actually make it worse. This actually makes them worse. So like I was on these medications that were making my hypomania even more hypomanic than it was, and it was a miserable way to live. And I also understand, like, you go some, I remember, so one of the big things of hypomania is grandiose or inflated self-esteem. So when I was in my little phases of hypomania, I was confident. I was like loud and, you know, the high pressured speech. And I was like, who's going to mess with me? But then you go into your depressive episode for 7 days, or it's never like seven on, seven off. It's always a mix. And it's like, you feel worthless. Like I feel like everyone's judging me. I felt like I don't want to talk to anyone. I had no social skills. And then boom, hypomania happens. And I'm like, can talk to a wall. I can talk. And so one of the goals of these medications is to stabilize you. I guess the idea behind the medications I'm on now, and I'm going to shout them out. I'm on Lamictal, Buspar, and Paxil. Absolute life-changing. Oh my gosh, absolute life-changing. I don't even know how I function without it. It's like night and day. It's instead of all the ups, the massive ups of hypomania, the massive lows of depressive, it's just an even keel. It's just, I'm stable. That, my medication mixed with hours and hours of cardio a day, because I definitely think it's absolutely imperative I work out, because that's also part of my medication is working out 100%. So it's, the goal is to like even keel. I have some more interesting facts about bipolar 2. Bipolar 2 is diagnosed based on thorough clinical evaluation, including a medical history, physical exam, psychological assessment. I guess everyone knows that. The diagnosis requires the presence of at least one hypomanic episode and one major depressive episode. The exact causes of bipolar 2 disorder are unknown, but genetic, environmental, and neurochemical factors are believed to play a role. Treatment for bipolar 2 disorder typically involves a combination of medication and therapy. Medications may include mood stabilizers, antidepressants, and antipsychotics. Therapy can help individuals understand their symptoms, develop coping mechanisms, and managing their daily lives. There is no getting rid of bipolar 2. Bipolar 2 prognosis. Bipolar 2 disorder is a chronic condition, but with proper treatment, individuals can manage their symptoms and live fulfilling lives. However, some individuals may experience severe mood swings, which can lead to complications such as substance abuse, suicidal thoughts, and relationship problems. Yes, and I think one of the biggest parts for me the longest time was substance abuse. That was my mood stabilizer. That was the thing that took me out of that crazy like level of like, it was like, I just remember, you know, I've always had these symptoms and I didn't know what to do with myself. And then the first time someone showed me, you know, first time someone gave me pot, first time I smoked pot, I was like, oh my gosh, like a cloud came over. Or no, it was like the cloud disappeared. I was like, oh, I can breathe. Like, what an amazing feeling. And then it only gets worse and worse when I start taking opiates or something. And I'm like, oh my God. So yeah, it's a really dangerous mental illness to have. And then also try substances that like literally fix it. I was between a rock and a hard place, people. Between a rock and a hard place. And so after living with this for, I'm now 30 years old. I didn't like saying that. after living with this for this long, and, you know, I scroll on Instagram and someone popped up who, it's funny, who said, they said, mental illness, what they say is, oh, depression isn't real. Depression, I even stitched this on my Instagram, and I have to bring this up because it's like, I've lived with this for a long time now, and I saw this gym bro, I posted on Instagram, and he's saying, depression isn't real. It's just how you eat. It's how you, you just gotta think of yourself as not depressed. Oh my God, a 20-year-old telling people, a 21-year-old gym bro telling people depression isn't real. Okay, shut up, shut the fuck up. Like, I don't understand how they think they have the qualifications to, you have no idea what you're talking about. None. And it makes my blood boil. So I wanted to bring that part up on this podcast, because I'm going to post this. This clip is going to be posted. No, dude, you have no idea what you're talking about. Like, none. What do you mean? How can you say depression isn't real? And what do you mean by not real? Like, everyone, I saw red and I stitched it, because if you don't know what a stitch is, it's where I let the video play, the original video, and then respond to it. It's a thing on social media. And there's actually someone on my feed who I follow these days who I'm 90%, 95% sure they're experiencing this same thing, hypomanic. I 100% know they're manic, but just because they post every 2 minutes. And I don't think I'm going to share that page, but he has over 150,000 followers with people telling him every comment, every video, hey man, you should get some help. Hey man, maybe someone should check on this guy's well-being. And actually his page was the reason I even did this episode today, because I was like, I want to explore this topic. I want to share my experience being bipolar too. And that's where this idea came from. But can you live a normal life with bipolar 2 disorder? In truth, living with bipolar 2 disorder is not easy, but with the right support and treatment, it is possible to lead a happy and uninterrupted life. It takes work and commitment, but it's most definitely worth it. That was a little generic and kind of, that was stupid. That was a weird, I should have just not talked about that part. Because, I don't know, man, like, I definitely see, I absolutely, absolutely see how someone could get fed up with living like that, and especially if they're somewhere where they have no, I'm so lucky to have the support I did and the mental health resources I did. Yeah, I'm really lucky. I can't imagine living like that for, I only basically experienced the full brunt of it when I was off drugs and off mental health drugs and completely, only for about a year, maybe a little over a year. I can't imagine going through 10 years of that or more. I mean, I've had it my whole life, obviously. What I meant was without self-medicating, without psych meds, I really felt the brunt of it 20 to 21 to 22 years old. And I understand. I actually get how people choose the easier way out, the S word. The unaliving themselves words. I totally can see that, because I don't know how much longer I had in me. It was just all the time. It was like, I can't function. I have no idea how how do you go through life with that? Without, like, you can't, it's just, you can't function. Like, I was screaming at people, you know, elevator or irritable mood lasting at least 4 days. That was like all the time. And then during the depressive episodes, I'd get mad at myself for not having what I thought was the energy to go train or go do something productive with my life. I thought, like, the energy, like, I thought I must be a loser. Something's wrong with me. And because I can't, like, get out and go do something. And literally, one of the symptoms is feeling of worthlessness or guilt, fatigue or loss of energy. And that's putting it lightly, fatigue or loss of energy. It was just like I had nothing, like nothing to give. And I'm a really A-type, I'm a motivated person, you know? I've done 12 Ironmans. Like, this was all mental health, people. This was not like some thing, gym bro guy that you can I'm not depressed. I'm going to go eat healthy. Like, that's not something you can control. It's literally a chemical imbalance in your brain. Synapses are not connecting. Okay. So how are you going to sit there and tell someone, tell your audience, I think he had like over 100,000 followers. How are you going to sit there and say, it's not real? Shut up. Shut up. I ain't got a clue what you're talking about. Yeah, so I'm bipolar too. And I do, you know what would be fun? It would be fun to have someone else who's bipolar too on the show to talk about our experiences as bipolar too buddies. Anyone out there who has been diagnosed with bipolar too, if you are willing to come on the show, I'd love to pick your brain about it. I'd love to talk about it. Yeah, totally. When people say, I get a lot of comments on my videos also about people saying, well, a lot of comments, what is this mentally ill person or something like that? Obviously, they're referring to my voice and like how I present myself. They don't know, like, that's not the mentally ill part. I am mentally ill from bipolar too. Not from whatever you're talking about. Yeah, I'd absolutely love to talk about, and people who don't believe in medications, like, there are people out there who, and I can't understand this at all. I mean, someone tell me, what am I missing here? There's people out there who live with their mental health problem, mental illness, because they refuse to take medication. They don't want to take the medication because it makes them drowsy. It makes them lethargic. It makes their personality. I guess if a little bit of personality is lost for how much better you feel, I'm just a massive, massive firm believer in psych medication. If you get properly diagnosed, it can change your life, people. And exercise. Obviously, exercise is huge. You know, I think that is literally, I'm prescribed Lamictal, Paxil, Buspar, and rigorous exercise. I have to exercise. One of the reasons why my injuries this last year have been so devastating and why I gained so much weight is because one of my medications was gone, which was exercise and mainly running. I will say running is literally the one. That's the one that does my head the most good. But that is what it's like to live with bipolar 2 disorder. Some projects I started while I was under severe mental distress. Is that the word? I tried to start Big Gear Creative. It was a internet web design, social media marketing firm. I literally tried to start it. I did start it. I actually got quite a bit of money from doing that. I was trying to be an artist, a triathlete. There was no rhyme or reason or any sort of like cohesiveness to any of my projects, but they were just going every day. I'd wake up and have like some sort of goal. And now looking back, I'm literally thinking about it while I'm talking to you guys. It was miserable. It was really miserable. So I'm not ashamed at all to say I'm on medications. Not one bit, people. Not one bit. I think I feel sorry. I feel sad for people who do like think there's a stigma. Who do believe there is a stigma, but I feel bad for people who, because of that stigma, won't give these medications a try, won't give a therapist a try. You know, you're not tougher for not helping yourself. You're not tougher or better for not getting on a medication that would literally fix 90% of your problems. You're not. I'm sorry. You're almost, I don't think it's something people should be rewarded for. Well, I am mentally ill, but I'm not going to take any medications to help myself. Okay. Why? Why? Yeah, I've heard that a lot. Anyways. So, folks, That is what bipolar 2 disorder is. And that is my experience with it. And since I've been on mood stabilizers, or since I've been on my medications, my little cocktail of medications, life is still really hard. There's still tons of problems. But it's not as hard as it was. And every day is a new day, and it's working for me. I can't imagine ever coming off of these medications. It's and apparently I've looked it up and I've talked to some my psychiatrist, and the next step up is, if these for some reason stopped working, the next step up is lithium. I have to take lithium, which is like a scary drug. It's like one of those ones that's like the one that it looks like everyone's had a lobotomy who's on it, is what I've heard. It's like that one you have to apparently on lithium, you have to like check your kidneys and stuff to see if they're functioning properly, which when they told me that, I was like, what? That does not sound healthy, which is fine. I mean, if it helps, it helps. But yeah, I didn't want to be on a drug that made them check my kidneys functioning properly. That doesn't sound very conducive to like getting a fast Ironman time. So I chose not to. But if and for some reason these were to stop working, which apparently I have read and heard in psychiatrics, psychology, psych treatment, sometimes medications just like stop working for people. They just like stop, is what I've heard. And in which case, my case, I would have to go on lithium or nothing, but I'm not I'm not stopping again for forever. I'm never going through that again. Well, now I'm just rambling, but really, and I do want to hear if, I hope by me making this episode and sharing the vulnerable ins and outs and inner workings of my mind and what I have been through with hardcore mental illness. I hope it's encouraged someone. Maybe if you really have something, go reach out to me, you know, reach out to, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your family, your dog. I don't think in 2025 with what's going on in the world, please, you are not special if you have a mental illness, some mental health problems and you need to go see a therapist. Like, you're not special. Everyone's doing it, man. Everyone's doing it, girl. Like, get your ass into the psychiatrist's office and make your life better. Really? I mean, can you get worse? Yeah. Well, yeah, you could get worse. But really, I just want to make it and reiterate, it's so important to me. And I have actually made my whole little platform about mental health, because it's way past due to be stigmatized for wanting to be on psych medications or wanting mental health help. You guys see how deep I can get my voice? Look how deep I've gotten my voice. Okay. All right. Now I'm just kind of rambling, but that was today's episode. And I cannot wait to hear your feedback. Also, if you've liked today's episode, feel free to subscribe, leave a review, rate, follow us on all platforms. I'm on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Instagram, TikTok, and everywhere. And that was another episode of Noodle On with Noel with your host, Noel Mulkey. See you next week.